who tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Tuesday evening, October the 22nd, 2013. Frank Marzullo is the speaker of this service, teaching on levels of spiritual warfare.
Frank Marzullo introduced himself and his ministry as he approached the platform. Amen.
My name is Frank Marzullo, Jr. Thank you all that are responsible from Lake Hamilton for inviting me here again. I thought the last time I came might have been my last time. I get pretty rough with people. But I want to thank all that were responsible for inviting me and my wife here, Jill. What a wonderful... The Bible says it's a good thing when a man finds a wife. And I really have come to appreciate her more and more and more as time goes on. It's not like I didn't appreciate you before, but I appreciate you more every day. And I thank God for sending you to me. She allows me to sit in my office and write and preach and teach and to minister over the telephone and to make sermons and to prepare them for the internet ministry that I have. I have an internet ministry. You can reach it by reaching my name, either frankmarzullo.com, or you can actually reach it by the title of this book, SpiritualWarfareNow.com. This was one of the latest pieces of material I wrote. It's 10 distinct lessons which I'll be teaching out of tonight. I'll be teaching one of the at the back of the book. There's one lesson called Levels of Spiritual Warfare. I'll be teaching you on that tonight. Levels of Spiritual Warfare. And here are the other 9 chapters here. Right behind each chapter, there is spiritual warfare and deliverance. So this is a wealth of knowledge, family. I'm not trying to pump my book. I'm trying to help you get set free and for other people to get set free. There's many, many years that I've spent. I was May of 1977 is when I became saved. And from that time, I stepped into spiritual warfare. So there is a wealth of knowledge that God has downloaded into me on spiritual warfare. And I'm not saying that to puff myself up. I'm saying that this is the truth. I write books on it. I teach on it. I go to churches and minister to different places. But the thing is that it's all about setting the captives free. It's not about who Frank Marzullo is. It's about setting people free. The mind is where the devil seems to nest. He seems to nest in the mind. And so there's spiritual warfare in the mind. I'll get to that later. There's spiritual warfare at different levels also too. And so I just wanted to teach that to you tonight so that you can take that home and take it to your churches and teach others. You see, I'm teaching you how to fish. You teach others how to fish. And so that's what the whole deal is here tonight. One of the other things that was not finished at the last conference that we had was this book. It's Spirits That Attach to Leaders and Attack the Church. Spirits That Attach to Leaders and look at that guy, isn't he handsome? Spirits That Attach to Leaders and Attack the Church. Now, this is a book written for you to take to your pastor or to recognize when you've been under authority that is wrong or misrepresented. And so this is a book that is 8 examples of basically poor leadership, demonic things that are attached to leaders that attack the body of Christ, the church. And that's over on that shelf at the top row. This book over here is going to be right next to the register. And now, I said that not to promote this, but to promote Jesus Christ. On the way up here, I was remembering all the people who have gone on. I was getting a little sad and yet happy at the same time, that, you know, that they're with in the presence of God. But I was remembering, and I was remembering all those people, all the ministers, all the people that that have gone on to be with the Lord. And you named them. You were going one right after the other as you opened up this meeting, and you were naming these people. And I'm going, oh, yeah, maybe I should share this. It was confirmation. And I started thinking about my time here on this earth. And I started thinking about, you know, one day somebody's going to say, I remember Frank Marzullo Jr.
Right.
And what he did, and where he, what he represented in his ministry. And he's gone on to be with the Lord. And I started thinking about my time here on earth and how quick it is over and how quick we're through here.
Amen.
And it's gone.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was a child. And I remember as a child playing in the neighborhood. And you see, kind of like what we're doing here is we're playing in the neighborhood. Okay, family? Come on, bear with me. We're in the midst. We're playing in the streets. We're talking in the walk of Jesus, and we're ministering Christ to people, and we're doing all these wonderful things, and we're just playing and having a wonderful time here. And then one day, we're gone. We're gone. It's all over. And I remember as a child, and I was playing in the neighborhood, down the street, around the corner from my house, and I'd hear around 5 o'clock, Frankie, come home! Mom calling. And I might have stayed out a little bit longer and just delayed a little bit because, you know, I knew it was time to go, but I wanted to play so much more. And it's like us here. We want to stay here. We want to stay on earth. We want to stay where we're comfortable. And then Dad would come out.
Yeah.
And I'd hear, Frankie, come home! And that's when I went. Because I know Dad had a... maybe you all loved him, but I knew he had a nuclear belt. So I knew that Dad, when he spoke, it was time. And there will be a time. You see, we're all having a big party. We're all having a wonderful time here on earth. And as my wife once said, she said, it's like a party. Everybody's at a party. And then they get a phone call. And it's time to come home. Your mom or your dad, you call you home. And it's time. We, most of us here, have ministries. Most of us have these wonderful things we're doing for God. Most of us are involved deep in some form of ministry. We're ministering to people one-on-one, or we're ministering to people out in crowds, or we have evangelistic ministries, or we have prophetic ministries, we have teaching ministries, and we're wearing this thing, this mantle of thing, this thing. And then one day we're going to have to take it off. Revelation 4, verse 10. The 24 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worshipped him that lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne.
Hallelujah.
You see, family, you came here to learn, but yet you're wearing your crowns. And you're wearing the mantle of your authority, but God is saying, I want to teach you something. I want to minister to you, but you need to take your crown off. So I don't want you to judge me as I'm teaching. I don't want you to look at me and say, I don't know if I agree with that. If you don't, put it on the back burner, please. I came to love you, but I may take your crown off. I may just chop it off right now. Or maybe you can just go ahead and lay it at the feet of Jesus right now.
Amen.
The 24 elders fell down before him and sat on the throne, worshiping him that lives forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you have created all things.
and for your pleasure they were created. And they took their crowns and they threw them at the feet of Jesus, saying, worthy, worthy, O God, worthy, you are worthy. O Shakti, Koravati, Shandi, Kayanamaka, you are worthy. And so,
I come to you to teach you in that fashion. I take my crown off. And I come to say, Lord, you are worthy. You are worthy. And one day, you will be gone. I will be gone. One day, we will have been called home by the Father. Come home. It's time. And it's time then. It's time now to take your crown off before you get there, family. And when you minister deliverance and healing, you know, I told my uncle when he was ordained, Uncle Ernie, I said, Uncle Ernie, when you minister, take your crown off. Don't wear this big thing on your head. That would cause you to be prideful. Take your crown off and hold it in your hand when you minister. You see, anything less than that is like a clanging, you know, gong, cymbals. Take your crown off before and start ministering in love, the love of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus loves people. He loves them. He died for them. And so should we love them the same way, in the same fashion. We love them that way. So, that's how we start our meeting. Okay, I'm ready to start the tape. Here's the lesson out of that book that I showed you, Spiritual Warfare Now. And it's lesson 10. And I want to start off by saying Jesus recognized that there was a satanic kingdom. And Matthew chapter 12, verse 26, Jesus says this, if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? So Jesus recognizes that there's a satanic kingdom. And Jesus recognized this, that it exists. And it's a shame that most churches do not recognize that there's a satanic kingdom. They don't understand. They don't recognize that it exists today. Oh, it existed back then when Jesus... No, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What his words are true today, yesterday, and forever. And his word never passes away. Heaven and earth may pass away, but his words will remain forever. So he talks about a satanic kingdom. And now, not only him, but Paul, when he wrote in Ephesians 6:12, all of us know this verse. All of us know that there is a satanic kingdom that Paul recognizes too. He says it in Ephesians 6:12. He tells the church that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is divided into several things here. Let's look at the things that it is divided into. Four categories of powers. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So we have four categories of warfare, levels of warfare that Paul is talking about here. How many here are intercessors? Okay. How many here are deliverance ministers? How many here are teachers? Okay, so we have a little bit of a division in a room of different ministries going on. But each one of you will recognize how to battle in the specific realm that I'm going to teach. The intercessors will understand that we wrestle against things in high places, heavenly places. And you do that well. Keep doing it. Now, in warfare, a lot of times in these conferences, we spend a lot of time casting demons out. That's another realm of warfare, of a level of warfare. And I believe that if you want to change the atmosphere in a person, you must also attack the other realms. Hello, family?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right? If we spend a lot of time casting demons out of a person, and we forget to attack the other realms, then we may have to spend time doing that again with the same person. So let's take it. It makes a lot of sense to look at these four categories of darkness and how they operate. So the first one is principalities. This tells us that there is an evil spiritual prince in Satan's kingdom who is assigned to control large portions of the world or nations, or states, or political or religious segments of our country. They do this by influencing earthly rulers, kings, presidents, government officials, parliaments, Congress, judges, and all who have legal, political influence or rule over a region of the earth. And they do this by assigning tasks to rulers of darkness, which I'll describe a little later on. So the principality is the realm and where the prince lives, this evil prince. And he has a realm there that he rules out, and he influences specific areas and specific people. Let's look at what's going on in your state. Look and see what's going on in your local area. Look and see what evil exists there. What customs, what traditions that go against God. Make a list, intercessors. I want you to make a list and that go with that armed with knowledge of what is operating in the specific area of the prince and the principality. And I tell you what, family, if you think that everything that's going on in the political arena today is just by happen chance, it is not. There is a prince and a principality influencing what's going on.
Amen.
Okay, so make a list. Now, the next category in Satan's kingdom is called powers. Remember, we have principalities, we have powers. And in this kingdom called powers, in this area called powers, there are powers behind things. Powers behind witchcraft, there's powers behind occultism, there's powers, psychic powers, mental powers, dark art powers. Transcendental meditation is a good example of that. Also, Reiki is a good example of that. There's a power there, powers to on the dark arts, universal life force. There's a power behind that. And so we have, like, electricity's in the wall. We know it's there, and we know it operates things. We know it has power. We can't see it, but we know it's there. Kriyas. K-R-I-Y-A-S. It's a spontaneous jerking motion that comes out of the Kundalini spirit. Have you ever seen people walk in? Have you ever seen that in the church? There's demonic powers that are going on. I told you, maybe I'm going to step on some of your sacred cows, but please put this on the back burner if you don't understand it today. Look it up. Google it. Go ahead, do that. K-R-I-Y-A-S. And understand that this is Kundalini Yoga. This is where it comes from. It is the merging of gods and Kundalini spirit. It is the merging of gods and yoga. That's the how it all started out. And guess what? It moved into the church. You have Christian yoga going on into the church. And then all of a sudden we see these revivals starting everywhere, and people are manifesting the same jerking motion as this Kundalini spirit. Google it. Look it up. Take a look at the videos of this manifestation that comes from the middle of the Eastern religion, Hinduism. Then there's another thing coming out. There's new movies coming out where people are moving objects with their mind. What's that called? That's telekinesis. And it all deals with power. What does the Bible say we wrestle against? Principalities and powers. So there's telekinesis coming out now in the movie theaters where they're it's occultism, duh. And we see this all the time now as we're moving forward towards the end of the age. We're seeing more and more of this stuff coming out, moving objects with your mind, bending spoons, bending objects, telekinesis, throwing people against the wall with your mind, telekinesis. And so this is a power. The next category in Satan's kingdom is called rulers of darkness. Now, they rule over regions. Remember, I was going to talk to you about this. Here we are. Rulers of darkness is sent by the principality. They include governors, managers. They have legal authority over a certain area. They have specific areas they rule and reign in. This also includes crime, incident, and immoral behavior. Gambling. What happened to my microphone? Can you bring me back up again? Prostitution, adultery, influencing people to do wrong. So that we have, the devil has power to steal, kill, and destroy, John 10:10, right?
Yep.
But he does this through rulers of darkness, rulers of darkness. And the last one's called spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places or high places. Now, this is a blanket of wickedness covering the people of the earth. It causes wicked events to happen. We see hurricanes, we see tornadoes, we see floods. We have people running into schools, killing children. We have all sorts of things going on in wicked, the spiritual host of wickedness. They're sent from the principality also. Okay? And that's what that would cause death and destruction, child sacrifice. We see a lot of that happening in Africa now. We have certain areas given over to homosexuality, New Age. So we have these areas now where wicked, spiritual hosts of wickedness and high places are being sent by the principalities. And that's what Jesus, he battled with, spiritual hosts of wickedness. He cast them out of people. That's what you and I are dealing with when we do deliverance. Spiritual hosts of wickedness. So this not only hits a whole area of people, a blanket area, but it covers individuals too. It goes into individuals. Now, the host of wickedness, they like to stay in the region that they are assigned to by the principality. How do I know this? Mark chapter 5, verse 10. The demons beg Jesus not to send them out of the territory. They're territorial. They want to stay in their assigned territory. Remember that? With a swine? So, from this we learn that demons are assigned to territories and they don't want to leave it. And I learned a valuable lesson here one day when I was ministering to somebody that was from Jamaica. And the Jamaica, she says, I'm shriveling away. I'm wasting away. Please pray for me, Frank. And I said, okay, I will. And I started praying and I prayed up a storm and nothing happened. Okay? No deliverance. Nothing. Nothing was manifesting. And believe me, I could pray deliverance till the cows come home. But nothing was happening. And I stopped. And by the way, never talk to a demon. They're liars. Alright? And I'll get into that maybe in today's lesson or maybe tomorrow. They're liars. Don't talk to them and ask them questions about who they are, what they're doing. They're liars. They'll surface some lesser one up and you'll spend a lot of time going on a rabbit trail. Ask the Holy Spirit. Do not speak to a demon and ask it a question. Ask the Holy Spirit. Okay? I learned that lesson many, many times and I finally registered. So anyway, I'm with this woman and I said, oh Lord, Holy Spirit, I don't know what to do. Tell me where this came in at. And then the Holy Spirit just kind of, you know, like you download on the computer. I had the knowledge. And I said, you, the one that came from the territory across the Caribbean, you, the one that was sent on a curse across the Caribbean, you, that one, the spirit of death, come out in the name of Jesus. And, oh, she bounced off the chair and scooted on her fanny all around me as I was commanding the spirit out all around territory. They don't want to be sent back to the territory. They're territorial. And I commanded it back to its territory. You understand? All right. So, anyway, we learn by just jumping in the water, family. So we just jump in. So the casting out of demons, do not forget to take the war back to where it came from. Okay? War is sent from the principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this age. Don't forget to take it back that way. You know, it's good to cast it out here, but take it back to where it came from, to the realm in which it was assigned by the enemy. And break the communication lines of the enemy. You know, break the command confusion upon the enemy. Commanded on his communication lines. He had a communication line from Jamaica all the way to America. Sever that communication line in the name of Jesus Christ when you are casting out a demon. And you will see victories if you do that. So don't be afraid to stop in the middle of deliverance and ask the Holy Spirit where this came at. How is this happening to this person? And so as you can see, there's ranks and there's categories in the satanic kingdom, and we need to approach our warfare from different levels. So in order to be effective in warfare against Satan's kingdom, you must understand which level this came in at. I had to ask the Holy Spirit. He told me the level, and I attacked the level. Okay, so that's an area to be targeted. Another area to be targeted is in your mind. Most of you guys know that we 2 Corinthians verse 10, though we walk in the flesh, verse 3, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. We do not war according to the flesh, we're at war, okay? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Well, I've come to understand that last verse, meaning that you're ready to cast demons out. You're ready to punish the enemy when your obedience is fulfilled. We have war going on. It's in our mind. It needs to be torn down and cast down, dismantled in our mind. And Paul not only writes to the Corinthians that there's war going on and bringing thoughts into captive, but our imagination, our arguments that would cause us to be disobedient to God. Now, inside every Christian, there is the potential to win every battle. Amen?
Amen.
And many are afraid to war against Satan and his demons, and they want someone else to do it for them. And so they keep coming back to you. They keep coming back to you for ministry. And you love them. And you want to pray for them. And you want them to get set free. But there is a time when the Holy Spirit says to you, enough!
Amen.
Enough!
Amen.
It's time for them to learn. We were talking about that earlier. It's time for them to learn. You teach them how to fish. Teach them how to fish. Let them fish. Okay, it's time for them to learn to put their faith into practice instead of wearing you down. I tell people,
amen,
you're wearing me down. Start putting your faith into practice.
Amen.
Right? It's also time to understand that in the end, we will be seeing the sheep and the goats separated by Jesus. And which one were you feeding? Are you feeding sheep or are you entertaining goats? Right? So it's time to start understanding that there's a time to stop ministering.
Amen.
And to allow the Holy Spirit, and stop being the Holy Spirit, by the way, the little Holy Spirit for them, and allow the Holy Spirit to change their life, change their thinking, teach them how to pull the stronghold down, and then that's it. You've taught them. Now they need to learn. Stop leaning on you. And I do that in love. I don't do it hard. I do it in love. I tell them, you have to operate in your faith now. It's time for you to stand on your own. Operate in your faith. Okay, now going back to the battle here. So we declare and we speak things to the demonic realm, whether they're in the air above us or in our minds. So we know that there's a war going on. We have a warfare, a level of warfare above us. We have a warfare that is in us. So we know that. And you cannot reach somebody else for Christ until you are successfully set free yourself. So when you come to this Deliverance Ministries conference, you're going to get set free. You have the opportunity to get set free. Let's put it that way. You may sit in your seat and go, no. Or you may say, here's my crown. Set me free, Jesus.
Yeah.
And so it's up to you. Now, in the area where we wrestle spiritual warfares that have attached themselves to our personal thinking and our own minds, their strongholds, their mindsets, their areas where we have collected over the years. We have been tormented, we have been abused, misused, people stepped on us, offended us, and each time there's a brick to that stronghold that is laid in our mind from the enemy. All the concepts. And we have our worldly thinking, and that all needs to be torn down. Paul says that these are called imaginations. They must be torn down and torn apart. Why? Because the devil wants you to believe and to put faith in his lies. And my wife is going to speak on that. She's going to speak on rejection. And she's also going to speak on fear, too. Beautiful areas where the enemy sets up his lies in our life. He wants you to believe those things that are in your mind. That those things are greater than he is. The devil's a liar. Everybody say, the devil's a liar.
The devil's a liar.
And I won't believe him anymore.
I won't believe him anymore.
Yahoo!
Yeah.
The Yahoo is for no extra charge. So, whatever God calls you to do, the greater things, the devil will attack you in your mind, in your imagination, and you'll say to yourself, I can't do that. I'm too weak. I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. I don't have a mustache. Whatever the lie the devil puts in your head, and the devil places negative thoughts in your head, so you'll run with them. We've been running with the dogs too long.
Yeah.
You know? So we want to get rid of that. Now, this is a false image, a weak image of ourselves. And if you bow to that image that the devil has placed in your mind, guess what? It's called, whatever you bow to, it's called what?
Idolatry,
an idol. So if you're bowing to the lie that the enemy is placing in your imagination, in your head, in your thinking, this is why it's so important to understand 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 6. If you're bowing to it, you are idol worshiping. The lie of the enemy. You're bound to that lie. That became your God. Woo! I don't want that in my head anymore. I don't want that. I don't want to bow to a deity of a thought. This becomes an altar. And every time that you're afraid or fear comes into you, you bow to fear. You bow to the God of fear. And you cow to it. That's sin. It's demonic. It's idolatry. So that's why we do deliverance. That's why we tear these things down out of our mind. We tear them out. The enemy can come to you and manipulate you in word, thought, or deeds. He can make you do things. He can make you say things that are just a lie. Just a lie. So, some spiritual warfare has to be done there. And now, let's move along to 2 Corinthians 12. Paul writes, I have known man for 14 years. Whether in the body, I do not know. Whether out of the body, I do not know. And such a one was caught up into the third heaven. And this man, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. He was caught up in the paradise and heard inexpressible words. So Paul is possibly talking about his adventure, maybe. Or maybe he's talking about somebody else's adventure. But he does talk about a third heaven and a paradise. And remember what the thief said on the cross? Hey, Lord, I believe in you. Yeah. And Jesus said to him today you will be with me in paradise. Paradise is as high as you can go. That's where the realm of God is. And so we know that's called the third heaven. Guess what? There's the second heaven and the first heaven.
Yep.
Okay, so we have a demonic warfare going on. And in Ephesians 6, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness. We have a realm above us somewhere between here on earth and paradise, the third heaven. So we have this warfare going on. And we understand that. We also understand Ephesians 2:2, that there is a spiritual force of wickedness in a place, and he is a demonic force. A demonic force. Who's he called? Come on. The prince of the power of the air. So we have another confirmation that there is a prince who has a principality, and he has a power, and it's in the air. Where? In the second heaven. We live on the first heaven here, family. So we have this warfare going on between paradise, and we have this warfare going on in the second heaven between us going on. Okay? We know that's true because we also read it in Daniel chapter 10. When Daniel started to pray. And the messenger of the Lord tried to reach him for 21 days, but he was thwarted by the prince of Persia. So there are princes over regions. Remember what I was telling you before? There's princes over regions. The demonic prince. And so we have the angel of the Lord being thwarted in warfare, going to try to give a message to Daniel. And then he gives a message to Daniel, and he says, I'm going back through, and the prince of Greece is coming, so there's no one that stands between me and him, but Michael has come to help. Michael is the prince over Israel. And so we have a prince of Greece, an evil prince of Greece in a realm in the second heavens, a prince of Persia in the second heavens. So we have warfare going. Intercessors, I want you to target the princes and the principality. I can't do that. I'm too weak. He's too strong. He's going to retaliate. Lie, lie, lie. Jesus said, behold, I give you authority. Yeah, the devil's got power, but guess what we got? We got authority over serpents, over scorpions, and over what? But I'm afraid of the prince of Greece, of Persia. What? Over him too. When Jesus died, he made a spectacle of the enemy. When Jesus died and rose from the dead, he made a spectacle. It's kind of like King David. You remember King David? Bo. You remember King David? All right. Show us the head! He made a spectacle of Goliath.
Yeah.
Right? Our enemy has been decapitated. Defeated. And we're afraid to approach him in warfare? Come on, family. He's finished. And he's a liar. Everybody say he's a liar. So don't be afraid. So, anyway, back to the ranch here. Luke 22:53. When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not seize me. Jesus is speaking. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. Oh. Now see, Jesus recognized that there's powers of darkness. Remember what we wrestle against? Principalities. Powers. Jesus is talking about powers. We wrestle against powers. And so at this opportune time, by the way, the devil left Jesus after he tempted him until an opportune time. And he's done the same thing with you and me. He leaves us alone until another opportune time for him to approach us. So here we have, Jesus said, this is the opportune time, basically. This is the time where the enemy can seize me through the power of darkness. And so Jesus tells them that he has fallen into the hands of the power of darkness. Oh, okay. You know what? I think I've fallen into that same pit myself periodically. And I have to rebuke and command and demand in the name of Jesus Christ. And don't you? I can remember one time when I was in the swimming pool business and I was carrying my jugs and my brushes and everything, and I felt something like coming over me was going to throw like a sheet over me, a big blanket or something over me, and I fell and I said, "Lord, conceal me." Because I felt the power of darkness coming over me.
Yeah.
And there's power. The enemy, remember, he has power. Understand that. We wrestle against that. Romans 8:38. Nothing can separate us from the love of God except this. Well, nothing. Jesus says that there's power. Romans, by the way, Romans 8:38. There's things that would separate us from the love of God. Angels, principalities, and powers. Okay? Now, that's interesting. So Paul recognizes that nothing can separate us from the love of God, not even these things. And Jesus recognized it. Ephesians 1:20-21. Ephesians 1, verse 20. Which he worked in Christ, he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of in heavenly places above, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Wow. So Christ is raised up from the dead and seated at the right hand of God in heavenly places, far above all principality, all power, all might and dominion. This is repeated throughout the whole Bible. These are the levels of warfare. This is not, you know, this is something that we should look at. Very, very interesting. Now, family, we're not to sit around and wait for our destruction. Alright? We're not to do that. We're not to sit around and wait for our destruction. You know, I have a shirt. I don't know if I brought it with me on this trip, but I have a shirt. Devil, look out, I'm coming after you. Alright? And if I have it, if I packed it away, I'll bring it in and I'll show you guys. People look at me strange when I wear that. Romans 5:4. Okay. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning. What was written before? Okay, here's what was written before. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Well, that was written so that we, for our learning. Remember that? That was written so that we would learn. And, but see, churches today, they don't want to understand. They don't want to understand that there is warfare. And they reject that. No. That's all done. That's all the Old Testament. Well, guess what the Word says here? I will reject you from being my priest, or priest for me. And not only that, but you have forgotten the law of God, but and now I forget your children. Wow. So what happens is that when people shun the ministry of Jesus Christ, when they shun it, they're opening themselves up for their children to be cursed. Family, listen carefully. Warfare is very important for God. God is, it says in Exodus 15, verse 3, the Lord is a man of war. And the Lord is his name. He's a man of war. Well, wait a second. I thought Jesus, he was the Prince of Peace. The Lamb of God. You know what? He's a man of war. I have a nickel here. It's got two sides. Right? And God, he's got two sides too. He is loving, he's kind, he's gracious, but yet he's a man of war at the same time. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10, verse 34. Do you think that I came to bring peace on the earth? I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Now, that's it. Woo! That's our lamb. Yeah. Hey, sounds more like a warrior to me. Yes. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
You sinners, get out of my temple! Man of war. Crack that whip.
Now, preaching salvation is fishing for souls, and we should do that. That's what we're really called to do, is bring people into salvation. We're fishing for souls. I'm going to be teaching you how to be fishers of men, Jesus said. Fishers of souls. But the casting out of demons is fighting for their souls. You might want to take that and jot that down. There are two different things, but both are considered warfare. Fishing for souls is warfare, because you're snatching them out of the kingdom of darkness. That's warfare. When you take them out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them into salvation, that's warfare. But also, deliverance is warfare too. So I've come to learn not to let, don't to mix Jesus with anything. Don't mix him with anything. A lot of people mix him with a lot of different philosophies and teaching. If there's anything that does not glorify God in your life, don't mix him with it. If there are things that do not glorify God in your life, and listen, I've been a Christian long enough to understand that, and I've been a minister long enough to hear it all too, that there people struggle. They have Jesus in this pocket, and they got sins in this pocket. And they're walking down the road with both. You know, the Bible's full of scriptures that say we're judged by our deeds. Yes, grace, the grace that you have been saved by, not by works, least any man can boast, was offered to everybody. It wasn't just offered to you. It was offered to the whole world on the basis of repentance. You must turn. Jesus said, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. There must be a repentance, a turning. And when people can't turn and repent because of the demons in their life are keeping them in the flesh, they're keeping them in the soulish realm, and there's no repentance, there may be a day when that person comes before the Lord and says, but I cast demons out in your name. I prophesied in your name. I went to church. I was a Bible student. I went to a Bible seminary. I was this wonderful thing. I got this mighty crown on my head. Hey, don't you know me, Lord? Jesus said, I never knew you. And so when we understand that repentance is such a key thing in our salvation, turning away from sin, not taking it with you, when you say, okay, I can do this. Me, Jesus and I, we're okay. We're fine. No, family. There'll be people that will say that and get a false sense of salvation, and they'll get to heaven and say, but I was a wonderful Christian. I've done mighty things in your name. And he'll say, I never knew you, you who practice iniquity. Depart from me, I never knew you. So we have this thing going on that we need to start delivering people for their soul's sake. Not for our sake. This is not to wear a feather in your cap or to understand that this ministry has power and authority in it. But guess what, family? That's not to be worn as a crown. That's to save somebody's soul. We're designed as spiritual warriors to save people's souls. And that's it. We're to call them out of darkness into light so that they can have the same thing that you and I have, salvation. And that's the only way you can do that sometimes, is just to cast the demon out in the name of Jesus. I wish there was more written about Acts chapter 16 about the girl who had the spirit of divination, but there isn't. You see, she was just following, saying all the mighty, wonderful things about, these are the mighty men of God, listen to them. And if they had turned around and said, yes, you're right, we are the mighty men of God, they would have given her a platform, the spirit of divination. But instead, Paul turns around and he says to the spirit, not the woman, he says to the spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Now that is biblical. And that's the way we approach deliverance, family. I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out. Now, You may have this doctrine and you think this is oppression, this is this and this is that. But the biblical response to that is, I command you to come out in the name of Jesus. Amen? Alright, so there's so much more I wanted to share with you on this, but for the sake of time, I just want to get into some ministry. If you want to know the full teaching on this book, it's in Levels of Spiritual Warfare. It's over there by the cash register. And she's got four of them out there. Oh my. Where are the rest? She's got them. Okay. All right, so that's the full teaching you can get from the book on that, chapter 10. And the one I really do want to end with here is there are several reasons why we should fight for spiritual forces of we fight spiritual forces of darkness. I'm going to give them to you really quick. 1 John 3:8, that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That's number one. We do that because Jesus did it. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Number two is to put off the former conduct, the old man, in Ephesians 4:22. To put off the former conduct. You and I, we've got former conduct, right? We got sin. We got sin that is former conduct. So we put off the former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt. And so that's the number two. Number three, the third reason why we should fight in spiritual warfare against the spiritual forces of darkness is 2 Timothy 2:26, to escape the snare of the devil. That's number three. Number four is to do what Paul did when he was before King Agrippa, and he was explaining his ministry to him. He said to them, to open their eyes. This is the reason why God called Paul. To open their eyes, sinners' eyes, in order that they may turn from darkness to light and escape from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. Number five, this is the fifth reason why we should fight spiritual warfare. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, Jesus says. Well, guess what? We are sent too to heal the brokenhearted. Don't forget, this is a ministry. This is not a mission. This is a ministry. Spiritual warfare is a ministry. We're sent to heal the brokenhearted. There's only two ways that I know that the enemy can get into anybody's life, ever. And that's through open rebellion against God's word, either them or their ancestors. Open rebellion or rejection. There's only two ways. And a broken heart is somebody who's been rejected, rejected, rejected. Jill, you're going to teach on that, right? Okay. So you have to go to Jill's teaching to get the other part of that. Number six is to maintain victory. This is why we fight spiritual warfare, to maintain victory. We're going to get through demons. Be patient. Right? Did you bring any? I didn't bring them for you. You got them. I got them. We'll get rid of them. Number six, to maintain our victory. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight. Lay hold of eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed a good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So at the end of time, it is interesting to note, by the way, family, who is thrown into the lake of fire. Very interesting. The devil, Revelation 20, verse 10, who deceived them, was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are. So there are three that were cast into the lake of fire, the devil, the beast, and the false prophet. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now we know that the devil reigns over the levels of warfare. Remember? He reigns over those levels of warfare. That's his realm. He has princes, principalities, powers, and spiritual hosts of wickedness. He reigns over that. So he's thrown into the lake of fire. Who? And the beast who waged war against the saints is also thrown into the lake of fire. But then we have something called the false prophet. Now, This is very interesting why John writes this in the Bible, because he's telling us, he's giving us a secret here, and he's showing us something that is very, very important to understand. In this day and age, you better lay hold of this. In this day and age, because there are three sent into the lake of fire, and one of them is called a false prophet. Now, when God chose to speak to the men of old, He used prophets. Amen? Today, we have the realm of prophecy that seems to have come across the earth now. We have the prophetic realm, and many of you operate in that. And therein lies a little sticky situation. A little sticky situation, because there's false prophets mixed in with real prophets. I see in a glass dimly. Hey, family, listen carefully. I see in a glass dimly, Paul writes. And so do prophets. They see in a glass dimly. They don't see the whole picture. You may get a snapshot. You may get a thought or an impression. And then you mix that in. Well, what are you made of? Well, you're made of body, soul, and spirit. All right? So what happens is that your spirit starts mixing in things, or your soul starts mixing things in to the prophetic realm, and you may give a false prophecy. If you start continuing to do that, if you do that without somebody checking you, you start operating as a false prophet in the church, giving a mixture of things that are of God and things that are not. So when someone says to me, I don't care who it is, I don't care who it is, but if someone says to me, I have a word for you, the first thing I do is I take a step back. And I listen very carefully. Very carefully to what they're prophesying in or over my life. Because if I accept that, oh yeah, yeah, amen, or if I'm polite about it and say, thank you very much, I receive the prognostication of the enemy into my life, and stuff starts to happen to me, and I'm destroyed.
Yes.
That's why John put that in there. The false prophet, the one who claims to be of God, and he starts spewing lies and deceiving and bringing people into an error. He's thrown into the lake of fire. So God communicated His message by holy men. And in the new covenant, we have also prophets. And it makes a lot of sense to me now, the work that is waged in heaven, that we wage war in heaven. And it makes sense to me that this spirit of false prophecy would be under principality. It starts to make sense to me now. It would be under principalities. Why? Because principalities have to do with legal rule. Oh. So if I submit to the legal rule of a prophet who is a false prophet, I'm led in error. And that's why God hates false prophecy throughout the whole Bible. Those people were destroyed. Stone them! Is what they did in the Old Testament. And today, in the New Testament, if somebody gives you a word and it doesn't line up with the Holy Spirit inside of you, don't be polite about it. Say, I don't receive that word.
Amen.
I don't receive that. That's a mixture of the Holy Spirit in you. I don't receive that. Somebody needs to check them. You know why? If they continue on, that spirit of that was going to be thrown into the lake of fire. Guess who else goes? The false prophet. And you want to save them from that. You want to save people from that stuff. We have examples of that. We have examples of false prophets in Egypt when Moses was performing miracles and they said, okay, we're going to do the same thing. We'll throw a staff down, it'll become snake. And so we see that stuff happening. Now, we can turn water into blood too. Cool. False prophets, why? Because they want to lead the person away from the truth of God. That's what a false prophet does. In Acts chapter 13, we see a false prophet trying to lead Well, let me read it to you, okay? How much time do I have? 14 more hours? Okay. Acts chapter 13, verse 6. Now, when they had gone through the island of Patmos, they found a certain sorcerer named, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus. Remember what happened? They had stranded on an island, and Paul was now stranded there, and he sees this false prophet, his name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul. Proconsul, what's that? That's the governor of the island. What's that? That's legal rule. Who influences legal rule? Principalities. Who? Okay, so we have legal rule, we have principalities that are being, you know, he's underneath the principality. Okay, so we have proconsul. Who was with proconsul? Sigerius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul. That's Paul now. And sought to hear the word of God. That Elymaeus, the sorcerer, for his name was translated, stood with them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. What's a false prophet do? He turns people away from the faith. Okay, here's how you can judge false prophets. Ready? The first thing is they turn you away from the faith. Then Saul also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "Oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil." You don't hear that too much in church today, do you? "You son of the devil!" "You enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord?" So here we have a false prophet who's turning people away from the faith and perverting the straight ways of the Lord. "Now, indeed, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time." And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Boy, the next time that you come against the spirit of false prophecy, you say, "Mist fall on you!" No, don't do that. Boy, that would be cool, though. So, this spirit of false prophet comes from the prince of principalities and attacks ministries and ministers such as Moses. And we see also Paul and Silas here were attacked by it. And the false prophet's job given to him with false authority to pass false judgment and evil statements over believers with genuine ministries. Anything like that ever happened to you?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Let me repeat that. A false prophet's job, by the devil, by the way, given by the devil, is with false authority to pass false judgment and evil statements over believers with genuine ministries. Anybody here have a genuine ministry? Let me see your hands. Are they real? Are they genuine? Come on. Are they real? Okay. Did anybody ever say something or get with authority over you? Oh. A false judgment, a false statement over your ministry, as to lead away from the faith, or to lead you away from the one you're under. Right? Proconsul, remember what this is about. So we have, that's why the devil's thrown into the lake of fire. That's why the beast is thrown into the lake of fire. And that's why the false prophet is thrown into the lake of fire. This is pure evil. False prophecy is pure evil. Let's stand for deliverance. Thank you, Lord. As we reiterate what Brother Jim said, we bind you, spirit of darkness. We bind the strong man's house before we plunder it. We proclaim Matthew 12:29. We bind and plunder your house in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you, strong man. We bind you, principalities. We bind you, powers of darkness. We bind you in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind your rulers of darkness of this age. We bind you in the name of Jesus. And we bind you, spiritual host of wickedness,
that are in people in this room tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind you. We bind every strong demon inside of you in the name of Jesus. And above you. And in your mind. We bind your powers that influence us. We bind your powers of darkness in the name of Jesus Christ. Matthew 18:19 says again that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Do we say amen to that?
Amen.
Bound and agreed on in the name of Jesus. We also take our authority that Jesus gave us in Luke 10:19 over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Right? And nothing by any means. Everybody say nothing. By any means shall harm me. Do not be afraid of deliverance. Do not be afraid of retaliation. The enemy is a liar and he's been beheaded. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. Who's a believer here? Let me see some hands raised. Yahoo! All right. We're believers. Amen. Therefore, we take that authority as we have bound the enemy. And now we command all principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness of this age and all spiritual hosts of wickedness in high places or heavenly places to be powerless over our lives. And we command you not to send aid to each other. Ooh. We break your lines of communication in the name of Jesus. We break your lines. And we command confusion up through your lines in the name of Jesus. Everyone point up. We command confusion up into your lines of communication in the name of Jesus Christ. And now we uproot your dominions and your powers over our lives in the name of Jesus Christ. We command you to be cast down. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. When deliverance happened and they came back and reported deliverance, he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. Guess what? We command you to come down and bow at the knee of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, we command you to fall like lightning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You say, I can't do that. Well, yes, you can. You have all authority and power that Jesus gave you over the enemy. Come down in the name of Jesus over this territory, over this area. In the mighty name of Jesus, we cast you down in defeat in the name of Jesus Christ. You come down in the name of Jesus Christ. We call you down, Jezebel and witchcraft. Antichrist. Now, I'm going to be calling some things out in the name of Jesus. If you feel like you or your skin's turning inside out, that's okay. That's called deliverance. Something's happening. If you feel like you want to cough, go ahead and cough. If you feel like you want to vomit, go ahead. Jim's going to clean it up later.
No problem. No problem.
If you feel like you're getting ill, don't run out of the room. Okay? You came, if you came in here and you have been defiled by the enemy, don't leave here defiled.
Amen.
You came in here with a purpose to learn how to do deliverance. And do it. Do it on yourself. Then take it home and practice it on the people that you love so dearly. And they'll appreciate it. Amen? Thank you, Father God. I command out of me the spirit of witchcraft and Jezebel, Antichrist, occultism, drugs, false prophet, gambling, seduction, prostitution, organized crime, bribes, lust for money, lust for powers, and every tentacle of the enemy. That has influenced me. I command your power to be void and shut off. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow out.
Go!
In the name of Jesus. Get out. Go! Go! Out! Come out! In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out! In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I command out of me the spirit of sorcery, spiritual corruption that has blinded my eyes, that has prevented me from hearing the truth of the gospel, that turns me away from righteousness, that perverts the straight ways of the Lord. Come out of me now. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow out. Go! In the name of Jesus. Get out. Go! In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I command out of me every spirit that makes me pass false judgment and evil statements over believers with genuine ministries, accuser of the brethren. I command you to come out. Spirit error, heresy, deception, lying, mind control, religious spirit, slander, pride, backbiting. Come out of me now. Jealousy. Out of me now. The spirit that maligns the flock. That hates godly people. Come out of me now. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow out. Go! In the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name.
Gee, I hope nobody saw that one come out of me. Or it could have been the Salisbury steak. I don't know. Everyone, say this with me. I command out of me the spirit of error, telekinesis, mind power, psychic power, Reiki, occultism, the spirit of the devil, spirit of counterfeit healing, the spirit of energy that comes from sound, vibration or light, smoke or feathers, the prince of the power of the air, disobedience, rebellion, prince of darkness, queen of darkness, Satanism, vampirism, blood drinkers, anti-God, hatred of men, worship of demons. Remember what I talked about. Everything that you bow your knee to, you made an idol. Say that again. Worship of demons. I command you to leave me. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow out. Go! In Jesus' name. Out in the name of Jesus. Out in Jesus' name. Anybody here ever practice yoga? Transcendental meditation? Say, I command out of me. Everyone say it. I command out of me. The spirit of transcendental meditation, yoga, kriyas, spontaneous jerking, telekinesis. Come out of me now. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath, blow it out. Go! In Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Okay, all of you who watch horror movies, say, I command out of me the spirit of horror movies. Whether they came in through TV shows, or movies, CDs, DVDs, I command the spirit of horror out of me now. And the lust for horror, come out of me now. In the name of Jesus, take a deep breath and blow out. Go! In Jesus' name. I command out of me vanity, self-love, love for power, pride, orgies, ritualistic sex, captivation, pride of Satan, abortion, death, familiar spirits. I command out of me now. Masons, spirit guides, grand marshals, the spirit of death, accidents, out in the name of Jesus.
take a deep breath, blow out.
Go!
In Jesus' name, out in Jesus' name. Out in Jesus' name. Some of you watched I Love Lucy. Ricky Ricardo played on a bongo drum. Remember the big drum he played on? He was conjuring up demons. Guess who he was worshiping? Baba Lua. Say, I command out of me. Spirit of Baba Lua. Sang along with Ricky Nelson. Ricky Ricardo. I command that spirit out of me. In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Blow it out.
Go!
In Jesus' name. Oh, that's right. Yeah. Rejection. Dr. Noel has a really good manual here on rejection. You might want to look at that. I command out of me the spirit of rejection,
self-rejection,
rejection of others,
rejection of God,
rejection of His work for me,
rejection of His people,
bitterness, resentfulness,
rebellion,
aggression against God,
against His laws,
against the Bible,
against the anointing.
I command
those spirits to leave me.
In the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath, blow out.
Go!
In the name of Jesus, get out! In Jesus' name. Is that scary when I said that? I saw you jump. I got to see everybody here.
I command out of me.
All self-willed spirits.
All self-willed spirits.
Self-righteousness.
Self-righteousness.
Leave me.
Leave me.
And take your crown with you.
And take your crown with you.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Take a deep breath. Blow out.
Go!
In Jesus' name. Oh, there's so much more here. You have to get the book, family. Father God, we just appreciate all our deliverance and our healing. Thank you, Father God. Thank you for teaching us.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, if I offended anybody, let them put it on the back burner until they can look at it later. And thank you, Father. And also, we claim that the enemy has been defeated in our lives. And now we ask you, Lord Jesus, come into those areas. Come on. Lord Jesus, come into those areas where demons ruled and reigned. And I now surrender those areas to you that you rule and reign in. From this point on, I give you authority in those areas from now on. And when the enemy tries to come back, let him see you ruling and reigning there. In the name of Jesus. And remember that, family, that there's no temptation that you cannot escape. God will provide a way of escape every time. So if you see an area in your life you got deliverance from, and you see yourself starting to practice that again, say, wait a second, I was delivered of that. I'm not going to practice that anymore. I refuse to. Lord Jesus, rule and reign in that area again. And just give it over to Him until you actually know that He's there, ruling and reigning. So when the enemy comes back, and he will try to, and he'll try to do that over and over again. And if anybody wants to know what I did to Jim Landry, you have to see me later. And I'll give you my testimony of sitting down, okay? Amen. That's it.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.